نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد.
الله تعالى says in the glorious Quran, وفي الأرض قطع متجاورات وجنات من أعناب وزرع ونخيل سنوان وغير سنوان يسقى بماء واحد وفي الأرض قطع متجاورات. On this earth are pieces of land which are near to each other. So I have my garden and Harisab has his garden and Usman Bhai has his garden. Three gardens. So same earth and three different patches stuck together. وفي الأرض قطع متجاورات. On earth are various pieces next to each other. So it's the same earth. When you plant the same type of apple tree in this garden, in this garden, in this garden, same type of mango here, here, and here. So the land is the same and the water is the same. Yuska bima'in wahid. So the fruit should be the same as well. But Allah says no. وَنُفَضِّلُ بَعْدَهَا عَلَىٰ بَعْدٍ فِي الْأُكُلِ. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. That some are more sweeter than the others. And you will find that Usman Bhai has small fruits and my garden has large fruits. Same tree, from the same shop. Same seed. One is bearing more fruit, the other is less. One is bearing fruit, the other is not. One is bearing sour fruits, the other is sweet fruits. So Allah is saying the earth is the same and the water is the same. So who is making the difference? So there has to be a creator. In the fida digala ayat, in it are great signs for those people who use their intellect. إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يعقلون. الله أكبر. وفي كل شيء له آية تدل على أنه واحد. In every creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is a sign. Which guides us towards this fact that Allah exists and He is only one. One only has to use the faculty of intellect. I am wealthy, He is wealthy. He is prepared to use his money. So he is clothing himself, he is feeding himself, he has a nice house. I am not prepared to use my wealth. I have wealth, but I am not prepared to use it. So I will not be able to derive the benefit of wealth. And he has wealth, he is using that wealth. So he will derive the benefit of wealth. Same is with the faculty of intellect. Allah has given everybody intellect. When people use intellect, they will derive its benefits. And when people do not use their intellect, they will not derive the benefits. So, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَعْقِلُونَ. For ulama and for students. The meaning is not that in these are signs for those people who have intellect. Because that will mean that those people who do not understand these signs do not have intellect. And if a person does not have the faculty of intellect, how can Allah question them on the day of Qiyamah? They will say, we didn't have the intellect to understand. So, isme nishaniya hai aise logon ke liye jo akal se kaam nahi lete. جو عقل نہیں رکھتی درجہ وہ صحیح نہیں ہوتی. اس لیے اگر تو سمجھ میں آ جائے they do not accept iman because they are not using the faculty of intellect. If they were not intelligent, how could they do PhD? So they are doing PhD because they are using their aql. So it is benefiting them. When they are doing MA, they are using their aql. So it is benefiting them. But when recognizing the creator, they are not using their aql. They are not prepared to ponder over these points. So for those people who use their intellect, there is sign in every item of this world which will become a proof for him that Allah exists and Allah is only one. وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَىٰ أَنَّهُ وَاحِدٌ. Alhamdulillah, we are very fortunate that we don't doubt the existence of Allah. And we don't doubt the oneness of Allah. This is a great tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Somebody asked the Bedouin, كيف عرفت ربك? How did you recognize Allah? How do you know that Allah exists? Allah, how do you know? So he said, البعرة تدل على البئير وآثار الأقدام تدل على المسير البعرة تدل على البعير وآثار الأقدام تدل على المسير فالسماء ذات أبراج وأرض ذات فجاج أفلا يدلان على اللطيف الخبير. البعرة تدل على البئير. When a person looks at the excretion of a camel on the ground, then he has not seen the camel. But by looking at the waste and the excretion of the camel, he realizes that there is camel somewhere. And he is walking in the desert and he sees the footprints of a human. He hasn't seen the human. But by looking at the footprints, he comes to this conclusion that there is a human somewhere. So by looking at the waist of the camel, he believes without seeing the camel. And if somebody says, then have you seen the camel with your eyes? Have you smelled the camel with your nose, the five senses? Have you tasted the camel with your tongue? Have you felt the camel with your hands? Have you heard the camel with your ears? He says, no. Then they can't be. He says, no, a camel is there because without the camel, these droplets would not have been here. These droppings would not have been here. And this logic, this argument will be accepted by any person with average intellect. Nobody will say that until I cannot feel the camel or observe the camel or smell the camel or taste the camel or hear the camel, I will not believe. No, he will have to believe. Fresh excretion, fresh waste. How is it possible if the camel is not there? And if a person says that, I have not seen a human, I cannot smell the human, I cannot taste the human, I cannot hear the human, I cannot touch the human, how can you believe that a human is there? Footprints. So the excretion guides us towards the camel and the footprint guides us towards a human. Thereafter he says, فَسَمَاؤُنْ ذَاتُ أَبْرَاجِ. Look at the heavens. Look at the heavens. Heavens, and then the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets. وَارِضٌ ذَاتُ فِجَاجِ. And look at this earth, with so many pathways, and now pathways even below heavens, aeroplanes travel, the bees travel, the flies travel, they also have a pathway that they follow. They don't just fly here and there. ثم كلي من كل ثمرة فاسلكي سبل ربك. Allah says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the honey bee that after sucking the honey from the flowers, فَاسْلُكِ سُبُلَ رَبِّكِ, follow the path of your Lord that He has created for you, and return back to the beehive. So they also have paths. And then the trees and the oceans and so many things. So by just looking at the waist of a camel, you believe in the camel. By just looking at a footprint, you believe in the human's existence. By looking at the heavens and whatever it contains, and by looking at the earth and whatever it contains, can you not come to this conclusion that there is somebody who is called Latif and Khabir? أَفَلَا يَدُلَّانِ عَلَى اللَّتِيفِ الْخَبِيرِ. Of course. Everything can't just come into existence with a big bang. Big bang and it's come into existence. And everything is operating so smoothly and so accurately. Allahu Akbar. Without anybody controlling. The superpowers, despite their technology and advancement in technology, they also have failures. Superpowers. And here, no superpower, nothing. Thousands of years it's been operating same. On the 1st of January, the sun has been setting and the sun has been rising at exactly the same time for thousands of years. Who is controlling? Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh had to attend a debate with an atheist who did not believe in the existence of Allah. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh reached late at the venue. 1 hour, 1.5 hour late. The whole gathering was waiting for Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh to witness this great debate between Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh, who had to prove that there is a creator, and atheists who had to prove that there is not a creator. It's Big Bang. And everything came into existence and everything is nature. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh turned up 1/2 hour, 1 hour, 1.5 hour late. And because he was late, the atheist had assumed his victory. Because he thought Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh chickened out. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayh returned late and he said that I had a problem. When I was coming from my locality to here, there is a river in between. And there was no boat to cross the river. So I experienced both anxiety and grief. Anxiety, how shall I cross the river? Grief, if I don't attend, I will not be able to take part in the debate. And I may lose the debate even without debating. It is a matter of people's aqeedah. So he said, whilst I was standing there in the state of anxiety and grief, I saw that the trees started folding themselves. The trees started folding themselves. And the trees started cutting themselves into planks systematically. And they started joining themselves together. And before I knew, there was a boat in front of me. He said, I got into the boat and I crossed the river. This is the reason for my delay. So the atheist became very happy. And he said that you have put such a fool here to debate against me. Can a tree fall on its own? Can trees fall on their own? And cut themselves into pieces, into planks, join themselves together and become a boat, and then without anybody, the boat just comes and drops him on the other shore. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah said the debate is over. If a boat cannot come into existence without a maker, how can this whole creation come into existence without a maker? So we are very fortunate that alhamdulillah we have recognized the oneness of our creator. We need to recognize him more through tazkiyah. The more tazkiyah, the more we polish, the more better we will be able to see him. If there is dust on the mirror, you will be able to see your face, but not clearly. So you will be able to recognize that I am something, or I'm looking at somebody's face. Yes, there is somebody there. But who is it? I can't. Is it Maulana Ahmed? Is it? Is it somebody else? Then when you polish that mirror, then you try to make out. And if you take a tissue and dip that tissue in water and then you polish that mirror, you will be able to see it even more better. Inna li kulli shay'in sayqalatan wa sayqalat al-qulub zikrullah. For every item has a shining polish, and the shining polish for the heart is the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, we are very fortunate that without any effort on our part, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the fundamental recognition of Allah, that He is there and He is only one. Alhamdulillah. We should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this thing. We should say to Him that, oh Allah, I am so grateful that You have granted me the tawfiq to use my faculty of intellect and recognize that You are there and You are only one. Oh Allah, I am grateful. There are so many people who are very, very intelligent. More, they have more intellect than I have, but they are not using their intellect. I am grateful to You. Being grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for any ni'mat, any bounty that He gives you, is security for that ni'mat. Not only will that ni'mat remain, that ni'mat will increase. Bain shakartum la azidannakum. If you are grateful to Me, I will increase you. I will increase you in favor. So let us always be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for every little and large that He has given us. And there are more reasons for shukr than sabr. That means there are more good things in life than bad. There are more positive things than negative. If there is anything negative, we have to do sabr. If there is anything positive, we have to do shukr. There are more reasons for shukr than sabr. Be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always. And this merciful creator, this loving creator who has granted us this great ni'mat of Tawheed. Let us recognize Him more. Let us get to know Him more. Let us get more closer to Him. The more we disobey Him, the more we distance ourselves from Him. And the more we obey Him, the more we repent, the more we remember Him, the more closer we get to Him. The more closer we get to Him, the more we recognize Him. And the more we recognize Him, the more it becomes easy to follow His commands. The more enjoyable His commands will become when we begin to recognize Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept our i'tikaf, accept our gathering. And majority of us have not come here only for i'tikaf. That is our prime intention, because i'tikaf is the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is our prime intention. But we could have performed i'tikaf in our local masjid. We could have performed our i'tikaf in our own hometown, in our own country. People are here from 12 countries, including UK. UK and other 11 countries. Why have people come from all over? From so many towns, from so many backgrounds. Why are we here? Because it is our belief that where we are going, inshallah we will be taught how to come closer to Allah, how to purify our soul, what is the path towards recognition of Allah. So that is why we have come here. Etikaf in our local masjid would have been more comfortable. Only 2 people, 3 people. Very easy. Everything systematic. As far as dunya is concerned, it would have been more easier. More hardship here. But despite that, everybody is here. And everybody is so eager to listen. And everybody is... This is nothing but the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That despite a very long schedule from 6:30 until Fajr time, everybody is eager to sit and listen attentively. And if I carry on for another 1 hour, you will all remain here. I know that. This is a special favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is granting me the courage to say certain things which are beneficial to both parties, and He is granting you the tawfiq to listen. Without your attention, I will not be able to speak. That means Allah is giving tawfiq to both parties because Allah desires to give us something. But it is we who are ungrateful that when we leave here on the last day, we leave everything behind and go away. The problem is here, not with Allah. Allah wishes to give us so many. Hum to mail bakram hai, koi sahil hi nahi. I am totally, the poet is saying on behalf of Allah, that this is how Allah behaves with His servants. Hum to mail bakaram hai. I am totally inclined towards my servant with full generosity. Hum to mail bakaram hai. I am totally inclined towards my servants with full generosity. The problem is in my servants. Koi sahil hi nahi, but nobody is asking for me. I want to give. I am inclined, my attention is towards my servant. Take, but nobody is asking, nobody is taking. Raah dikhlaye kise? Raah rave manzil hi nahi. Whom shall I show the path? There is nobody who desires to walk on the path. I am there to guide them on the path, but nobody wants to walk on the path. So let us expand this 10 days i'tikaf. This 10 days i'tikaf should be like an elastic band. At the moment it is like an elastic band. We've come here for 10 days only. Let us stretch it. Attend more programs. And not only attend program and listen to the bayans and the talks. No. Listen with the intention of practically implementing what we learn. How bitter it may be. If something is very difficult, something may be very easy for you. Because your nafs is under control. And my nafs is not under control, that particular item may be very difficult for you. So when you try to do that, 10 out of 10 you will succeed. When I try to do that, 10 out of 10 I will fail. No. That is incorrect. Because I don't try, I'm failing 10 out of 10. If I try, I will fail 9 out of 10. Once I will succeed. And when I succeed once, that will bring the attention of my Creator. Because I have made Him happy once. So 9 times I am disobeying Him, so 9 darknesses. 10 times I obey Him, total darkness. 9 times I disobey Him, once I obey Him, so there is a candle in the darkness. And this light, this candle will guide me more now. Will guide me more. And I'll be able to find another candle which I will light in the other corner of the room. Now I have 2 candles. So I'll find a 3rd candle and light it in another corner of the room. And slowly the whole room will become enlightened. So if I try, I will succeed once. So I've lit 1 candle. And as a result of that candle, the following day, I will succeed 2 out of 10 times. The 3rd day, 3 out of 10 times. After 2 weeks, 4 out of 10 times. Slowly but surely. And a time will come when I will also succeed 10 out of 10. Because everything is light now, clear to me. I know what is right, I know what is wrong. I can see everything, I will not stumble again. In darkness, a person will continue stumbling. In Arabic, we say, Man jadda wajada. Man jadda wajada. Man jadda wajada. Man qara'a baban. One who knocks at the door. Walajja. And he does not follow the sunnah method. He insists and he continues knocking and banging the door. Man qara'a baban, one who knocks at the door, walajja. And he insists. What will happen? Dakhala. He will enter. Because eventually somebody will have to open the door. Man qara'a baban, walajja, dakhala. Woman talaba shay'an. Woman talaba shay'an, one who desires something, wajadda, and he strives, wajadda, he will acquire. So, man jadda wajadda, one who strives, acquire. In English we say, where there is will, there is way. Where there is will, there is way. And here Allah's promise, if my servant walk towards me, I will run towards him. So it's like playing with a child. Your own child or your niece or your grandchild. You pick the child up. The child is holding your finger. So you make the child stand. Because you want to see the child walk. It hasn't started walking yet. And that you balance the child and the child is there standing. And then you move away a few steps and you say, come beta, come, come. And the child doesn't try. It sits down. So you try again and you say, come on, walk towards me, walk towards me. But the child is stubborn and it sits down again. 2 times, 3 times, 4 times. Now your mood is changing. From a friendly mood to angry mood. And you say, stay where you are. Because the child is not cooperating. But if this very child takes one step, and you're watching the child very carefully, that yes, it's doing what I want the child to do. I know the child is unable to walk. The child is unable to reach me because it does not have the ability. You know that you're staying 5 steps away from the child, and the child will not be able to walk 5 steps. It does not have the ability, and it will not reach you. But you let the child try as much as possible. So the child takes the first step, and whilst it's taking the second step, it's about to fall. And what do? You run towards the child and pick the child up.
Ya Allah. Huh?
And you embrace that child with a lot of love. This is what Allah wants to see from us. The path to Allah is very long. It's more difficult than the 5 steps for the child. The path to Allah for me and you is very difficult. We will, even if we are given 1,000 years of life, we will never be able to walk that path. Then why do the ulama and the mashayikh say it's very easy? Because of this. That Allah does not want you to tread the whole path. Allah wants to see you start walking the path. And once you do that, and where Allah will see you fall, Allah will pick you up. Allah yajtabi ilayhi man yasha'u wa yahdi ilayhi man yunib. That is what Allah wants to say. Allah Himself will guide you. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. We ourselves will guide them on our paths. Allah says. Just that initial strive. Then the bitterness will go away and sweetness will come. Bitterness will go away, sweetness will come. Then ibadah will become sweet. Sajda will become sweet. Ruku will become sweet. Tasbih will become sweet. And sinful activities will become bitter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. So all the salikin. Salik is the person who is already walking on the path towards Allah. Suluk is the path to Allah, and Salik is the one who walks that path. So those who affiliate with the Shaykh and practically start their progress in Tazkiyah, they are called Salik. Salik, the plural is Salikin. So all the Salikin, especially those who are spiritually affiliated to me, associated to me, make a firm resolution. Alhamdulillah, we are coming in Itikaf. Many Salik brothers are not coming in Itikaf. Some without any reason. Allah's tawfiq is not with them. Make dua for them. You are all coming regularly, majority of the time in the monthly program. Many people are not given their tawfiq. This understanding that Allah, let us make a firm resolution that we want to adapt to the whole system of tazkiyah. And strive. Strive. Only taking bay'ah is not sufficient. It has its barakat, no doubt. But that was not our goal, that I have taken bay'ah so that I get the barakat. No, I have taken bay'ah because I want to reach Allah. That was our objective when we took bay'ah. So we should not rest in peace until we acquire the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until we acquire His love. And if we fail, if we carry on throughout our lives to acquire tazkiyah and the love of Allah, and if we fail and we die during the process, at least we will be able to say, I tried. And when a person says, I tried, Allah will definitely forgive him. Allah will definitely reward him. Because we understand from the teachings of our deen is that niyatul mu'min khayrun min amali. Sometimes the niyat is better than his amal. So there is a person who was going to come for ethika, but he was put behind bars for some reason. No, he can't come. So he will be rewarded according to his niyat. He wanted to come. He was admitted to hospital. He can't come now. The desire was there. And why is it better than amal? Because intention is the amal of the heart. And the amal of the heart people cannot see. So the amal of the heart is always immune from riya. So his amal was the amal of the heart. And it is immune from riya, so it is definitely accepted. And our amal is physical amal. We have come all the way to Islamic Dawah Academy and we are staying here 10 days. It is not immune from riya. Riya can creep in any time. That is why his intention is more better than our amal, because he is not in any danger. Niyya. Allah rewards upon niyya. Allah says in the glorious Quran, وَمَنْ يَخْرُجْ مِنْ بَيْتِهِ مُهَاجِرًا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Then Allah had made hijrah farz. One who leaves his home and leaves Makkah Mukarramah with the intention of hijrah and migration towards Allah and His Rasul, towards Madina Munawwara. ثُمَّ يُدْرِكُ الْمَوْتِ. But death strikes him during the journey. And he is not able to accomplish his migration. Quran says, فَقَدْ وَقَى أَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. His reward is upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will reward him for the full hijrah on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will say that if I gave him a little bit more chance, he would have been able to. So if we continue striving and if Allah takes us away, Allah will say to the angels, if I gave him a few more years, a few more months, he would have come here with tazkiyah. So treat him as a person who has completed his tazkiyah. As a result of such verses, the ulama have stated that when a person resolves to become hafiz of the Quran, and he takes admission into a madrasa, and he recites Surah Fatiha or one verse, he just takes the lesson, he has not even memorized. He takes his first lesson and he passes away. On the day of Qiyamah, he will be resurrected as a full hafiz. Because Allah will say that this servant has resolved, and if I had given him 3 years, he would have completed his Quran. يا أيها السالكون, او ماي سالك برادرز, let us make a firm resolution. I am walking on the same path also. I am also trying to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us all walk together. We are ikhwan fit tariq. We are brothers walking the same path. We are trying to save each other from the dangers of the path, the shaitan and the nafs. That is what we are doing. We gather together, we try to support each other, we try to explain to each other, we try to make dua for each other, we ask each other for dua, we make dua for each other, we are supporting each other, and we are all trying to reach that final destination. The love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is acquired, Allahu Akbar, how sweet it must be. When a person loves his wife, sweetness. When a person loves his children, sweetness. When a person has a friend and he loves him, sweetness. When a person loves his grandchildren, sweetness. You know, different sweetness, all different. So that love of Allah, sweetness must be very, very different. It is for this reason the ulama have said that when Bilal was persecuted, Bilal radiallahu ta'ala, he was made to lie on sand, hot sand, in scorching heat. Stone was placed on his chest. He was being dragged on stony ground. How was he able to bear this? How was he able to bear this? The ulama have said, the mashayikh have said, the masters of tazkiyah have said, that we find in the ahadith that whenever he was tortured, he would say, ahad, 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 ahad. Ahad, ahad. If you look at this incident from one aspect, the understanding we get is that he was being forced to forsake the kalima of tawheed. But he was rejecting, he was saying, no, I believe in one. I believe in the one. Ahad, 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 ahad. But the mashayikh of tazkiyah, they say no. When he was saying ahad, ahad, he was engaging himself in the remembrance of Allah. Because Bilal had reached a very high peak of tazkiyah, the recognition of Allah. And when he used to say ahad, the sweetness that he used to feel within his body used to become anesthetic for him. Ahad, ahad. So when he used to say ahad, it's like taking a bitter medicine and then taking a spoon of honey. The bitterness is there, but the honey has overpowered the bitterness, so you don't feel the bitterness. So when he used to say ahad, the sweetness and the enjoyment and the ecstasy of ahad, ahad used to overpower the pain of the persecution. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this experience also. Amen. Wallahi ma tala'at shamsun wala gharaban illa wa anta fi qalbi wa waswasi. Whenever the sun rises and whenever the sun sets, O my Creator, you are always in my heart and in my thoughts. Wallahi, by Allah, ma talat shamsun, the sun has not risen, wala gharabat, and it has not set, illa wa anta fi qalbi wa waswasi, but in a state when you are in my heart and you are in my thoughts. That means 24 hours you are in my heart and you are in my thoughts. And because you are in my heart and thought, then whenever I talk to people, it's always about you. You may have come across certain people who love something, who are obsessed about something. They always talk about that and you get bored. Friends, our friends circle. Always talking about the same thing. So because you are in my heart and in my mind, so whenever I talk, I talk about you only. وَلَا جَلَسْتُ إِلَىٰ قَوْمٍ أُحَدِّثُهُمْ ولا جلست الى قوم احدثهم. Whenever I sit with people to talk to them, illa wa anta hadisi bayna jullasi. The topic of my discussion is only you. I only talk about you. Now to talk about Allah, people find it boring. To listen about Allah, alhamdulillah, we have reached that stage where we enjoy talking about Allah and listening about Allah. Alhamdulillah. And then he says that because you are in my heart, you are in my mind, you are in my tongue, so whoever I am seeing, wherever my gaze is, you are in my eyes as well. So when I look at the water, I remember the creator of the water, the giver of the water. When I look at the mountain, I remember the creator of the mountain. وَلَا هَمَمْتُ بِشُرْبِ الْمَاءِ مِنْ زَمَئٍ إِلَّا رَأَيْتُ خَيَالًا مِنْكَ فِي الْكَأْسِ. Whenever I make intention of drinking water as a result of thirst, and when I pick up the glass, and when I look inside the glass, then I remember you and I see you in the glass. I see you. The water reminds me of you. Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi says, Tira Aina Adame Rangum. If I look in my mirror, will I see my face or your face? In my mirror, I will see my face. And you have a mirror in your hand. Husband and wife, both are going in somebody's walima and they are both preparing themselves. So the husband will be looking at his mirror. He's in the bathroom and he's looking at the mirror, looking at himself. And the wife is in the bedroom and he's looking at her mirror. So what will she see in her mirror, the husband or herself? So in her mirror she will see herself and in his mirror he will see himself. In the mirror of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what will you see? Allah, in the mirror of Allah. So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi, who was a great Mufti, great Alim and a great Sheikh also, a Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, Tera aina alame rangubur. This whole world is your mirror. And whenever I look at something, I always see you in there. तेरा आईना आलम में रंगो बो है जिधर देखता हूँ उधर तू ही तू है. Wherever I see you. When I look at the mountain, I see you. When I look at the ocean, I see you. Everything reminds me of you. وَفِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ لَهُ آيَةٌ تَدُلُّ عَلَى. In everything there is a sign that Allah is there and He is there. And many people have reached that stage. That after reaching that stage of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they neither cared for Jahannam nor Jannah. Worshipping Allah to save myself from Jahannam? No, saving myself from Jahannam is not the objective. Worshipping Allah to acquire Jannah? No, going to Jannah is not my... Then what is your objective? My objective is my Creator. I'm worshipping because I want to make Him happy. Jannah, Jahannam doesn't encourage or discourage. Rabia Bisriya rahmatullahi alayha, a woman, a great waliya of her time. One day she came out of her house, she had one utensil, one bucket maybe in this hand, another bucket in this hand. And in one utensil she had fire, in the other utensil she had water. So somebody said, where are you going, Rabia, in this condition? Surprised, everybody was surprised. What is Rabia doing? A very respectable woman. In hijab, of course. So she said, I have pondered very carefully upon those people who worship Allah. And I have categorized them into two categories. Some worshippers worship Allah to save themselves from Jahannam. And other worshippers worship Allah to go in Jannah. Nobody is worshipping Allah for Allah. This is also ikhlas. To save oneself from, to worship Allah, to save oneself from Jahannam is also ikhlas. But ikhlas of a much lower level. This was the ikhlas of a very high level. That I have categorized the worshippers into two categories. One category is worshipping Allah to go in Jannah. And the other category is worshipping Allah to save themselves from Jahannam. There is no one who is worshipping Allah for Allah. So So I am going with this fire to burn Jannah. So Jannah will remain no more. And I am going with this water to extinguish the fire of Jahannam. So Jahannam will remain no more. After that, the worshippers will have no choice but to worship Allah for Allah. And do not become victims of inferiority complex. We will not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something according to our abilities. We will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala according to His abilities. We may feel that we haven't got the ability to become like Rabia Bisriya. That Jahannam is out of the way, Jannat is out of the way, and then we still worship Allah. No, that will never happen. No, not with me. No, don't become victim. Ask Allah that, oh Allah, make me reach that level. That same level where Rabia Bisriya reached. I may not have the ability to reach that level, but Allah has the ability to make me reach that level. So ask from Allah not according to your ability. Ask from Allah according to His ability. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Just talking about Allah's love is so sweet. So imagine the person who experiences the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But for that, there is a course, and we have to complete that course. We have to follow that course. We have to exert effort. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all success. Akhiru da'awana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sallam.